Let's turn this morning to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. We'll read the first 9 verses and then focus our attention on verses 7, 8, and 9. Joshua, chapter 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, or servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even as the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that will I give unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, for as I was with Moses, so I will be also with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Now the next 3 verses we're going to consider in connection with the installation of officers this morning. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, thy servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. So far we read God's holy, inspired word. It is often with a sense of fear and trepidation that a man takes the office of minister, elder, or deacon. That's due to the very nature of the office and the work that comes with it. The office in the church brings tremendous responsibility. I remember when I was ordained as a minister in Edgerton, Minnesota, September 1974, and the form for ordination was read, a chill went down my spine when it came to the passage, and the Lord has given to you the care of the souls of this church. Wow. The care of the souls of God's people. And although that phrase isn't found in the form for elder and deacon, nevertheless, that's true also for you men. God has given to you, elders and deacons, the care of the souls of His redeemed people. That's a tremendous responsibility. And the work is often difficult. There are difficult situations that must be handled by minister, elders, and deacons as they exercise their office in the church. And sometimes the people in the church, God's people, can be very difficult to work with. And so it's often with a sense of fear and trepidation that a man takes up the office. And Joshua had the same fears and trepidation. Moses had been raised up by God to lead Israel out of Egypt. and bring them 40 years through the wilderness to the very shores of the land of Canaan. And now he had died, and Jehovah God had chosen Joshua to be his successor. It was his calling now to bring Israel into the land of Canaan, that they might possess the land. And Joshua was filled with fear and trepidation. And so in the Word of God that we consider this morning, we find that the Lord told Joshua to take courage. The Lord gave unto Joshua the keys to leading Israel successfully into Canaan. Said the Lord to Joshua, you must meditate upon the law which was given to you and Israel through Moses. And you must walk according to that law, straying neither from the right nor to the left. And that word must never depart out of your mouth. Whenever you speak to the people of Israel, you must speak to them the law of God. And the Lord promised Joshua that he would be with him and cause him to prosper and to succeed. As he spoke the word of the law to God's people. Now the same applies to the office bearer in the church today. Every office bearer, not just the minister, but also every elder and every deacon, must be faithful to meditate upon the law and word of God. And in the power of that, he must himself walk according to the law and word of God, so that ultimately he can effectively bring that word of God to the people. And that word must never depart out of his mouth. And God promises every office bearer that in that way he will be with him and cause his work to prosper and to succeed. And that's what I want to develop this morning out of this passage. The theme is office bearers, be strong and courageous. That's what God said to Moses, to Joshua. We consider, first of all, an awesome task. Secondly, a divine directive. And finally, a reassuring promise. In verse 9, we read of the command that the Lord gave to Joshua. Have not I commanded thee, he asked. Now that word in the original has the idea of commission. Have I not commissioned thee, is the idea. A commission is an appointment to a place of authority that brings with it various responsibilities and duties and obligation. And that's what the Lord had given to Joshua. He had given Joshua a commission. Take the place of my servant Moses, whom I've used these past 40 years to lead the people out of Egypt through the wilderness. And now, as the leader of the people, it is your responsibility with my authority to lead them across the Jordan River and to possess the land of Canaan. What an awesome task that was. That's obvious when we consider that the land of Canaan was possessed by several nations that were stronger than Israel. To possess the land required that these nations be either destroyed or uprooted. 40 years before that, when Israel was encamped at Kadesh Barnea and sent out the 12 spies, 10 of them came back with an evil report telling the people how strong the Canaanites were. And the people of Israel shrank back from going into the land. Now Joshua must lead Israel into the land and uproot or destroy these powerful nations. And besides that, Israel had shown itself again and again to be a stiff-necked people. You read of that term so often in the Old Testament wilderness wandering. That's a very expressive term. That picture is an ox who with a plow, and the master wants that ox to turn this way, and so with a goad he pushes on his neck, and the ox won't go that way. He stiffens his neck and refuses to go the way that his master wants him to. That was the nature of the people of Israel. Even though they were the church of God, they were again and again a stiff-necked people who did not want to follow the ways of the Lord and of Moses. And this is the people that God gave to Joshua. And he said, now I want you to lead them across Jordan and into the land of Canaan and possess the land. Joshua faced this task with fear and trembling, which is evident from the exhortation in verse 9. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. And that word dismayed has the root meaning of trembling. That's what Joshua was doing. He was afraid, he was trembling inside. Well, the situation of the office bearer in the church today and throughout history is essentially the same as that of Joshua. Every office bearer in the church, minister, elder, and deacon, is commissioned by God and Jesus Christ. Each office bearer is given by God a place of authority and leadership in his church. And even as God commissioned Joshua to lead his people into Canaan, so also every office bearer today must do the same. That's his work. Not the earthly Canaan, but of course the heavenly Canaan. That earthly Canaan into which Joshua led the people and in which he gave to them as an inheritance served as a picture of the heavenly Canaan. And that means, therefore, that Israel's wandering through the wilderness is a picture of the church today as she wanders through the wilderness of this world. And Israel's deliverance out of Egypt under the hand of Moses was a picture of being redeemed in the blood of Jesus Christ from the slavery of sin. And that is our situation. We've been redeemed in the blood of the cross. We've been freed essentially from the tyranny of sin and the bondage of corruption. We're in the wilderness of this world, and we're headed for Canaan. And the responsibility and commission of every office bearer is in the church is, lead my people into the promised land. Guide them, direct them to Canaan. What an awesome task that is. First of all, again, there are innumerable enemies which the church faces. You know, in this case, the situation of the church is different than what was pictured in the Old Testament with Canaan. The enemies of the church are not in the heavenly Canaan as they were in the earthly Canaan. We don't have to take the heavenly Canaan by storm and uproot our enemies. Our enemies confront us on the way, even as Israel was confronted by many enemies in their wilderness wandering. And those enemies which we face would prevent us from even entering into Canaan and receiving the inheritance that is ours in Jesus Christ. And they would do that by leading us away from God's covenant, away from our Savior, Jesus Christ, away from His redeeming blood, And they have many, many ways in which they attempt to accomplish that. We talked about those in our New Year's morning service this past week. The world always comes to us with false doctrines, which appeal to our sinful pride, which, if we embrace them, will lead us away from the cross. And eventually in our generations, keep us from Canaan and our inheritance. And the powers of darkness, the devil, the world, which also appeals to our sinful flesh, dangles before us the pleasures of sin, so that we, if possible, will forget completely about Canaan and what God has purchased for us in Jesus Christ. And as we walk through the wilderness of this world, the powers of darkness will make sure that every step we take towards Canaan will be a difficult one, with threatenings, mockery, persecution, sometimes severe, sometimes less, but always make it a hard way for the people of God. And every office bearer in the church, minister, elder, and deacon is commissioned by God. Lead my people through this wilderness. Lead them as they are attacked by the enemies of the covenant and the powers of darkness. Lead them and guide them and bring them into Canaan. What an awesome task. And again, the church is often filled with stiff-necked saints. That's because every child of God who's on his way to Canaan has a sinful nature. And often that shows itself with a stiff-necked character that does not want to yield or to be guided by faithful office bearers who are leading them to Canaan. And so the man who takes up the office, minister, elder, or deacon, is often like Joshua, somewhat afraid, trembling. The Lord told Joshua, be strong, firm in your intention. Be courageous. Don't shrink back. Don't tremble. Be strong. Be courageous. And he then showed Joshua how to prosper in his labors and succeed in his calling of leading Israel into Canaan. There are three things that the Lord set before Joshua that he must do. The first is he must be careful to do according to all the law which Moses had commanded him and Israel. At Mount Sinai, God had given to Israel the law. And that law was not just the Ten Commandments written by the finger of God upon tables of stone. There were also the civil laws, which became the laws of the nation to govern Israel's behavior in the Promised Land, like we have civil laws here. And there were the ceremonial laws, which told Israel how to worship the Lord with the tabernacle and the priesthood and the sacrifice and the feast days. And what we must understand is that these laws, and by the way, at this time, the church had the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, written by inspiration by the hand of Moses, who had just died. And that was dominated by this whole law. And that law proclaimed the way of salvation. It pointed Israel ahead to the great Lamb of God, which would come and forever pay for their sins. Especially in those ceremonial laws, the gospel of salvation in the coming Christ was proclaimed. And the kingdom of God was set forth in picture form in those civil laws. And how Israel was to live in God's covenant in the promised land was all summarized in those Ten Commandments. That's the law here. And the word of God to Joshua was, you must walk according to this law. By faith, clinging to the promised Savior, worshiping me, serving me in your own personal life as a child of the covenant. Don't stray to the left, don't go to the right, go straight on, faithful to my covenant law. And then in the second place, the Lord said, Joshua, you must meditate upon this law day and night. Why, of course. He must know this law. And if he's going to have the power to walk by the law, he must meditate upon it day and night. It must be in his thoughts, in his prayers. And that, in turn, was important for the third thing that Joshua must do. That law must never depart out of his mouth. As he led Israel, he must always bring to them the law. This is what our covenant God will have us do. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the priest that he will send. Look for the forgiveness. Look for the power to serve God humbly as a friend servant according to his law. He must always guide them into the law. And the Lord says, Joshua, being faithful to that, you shall succeed in your work and you shall prosper as the leader of Israel. Now, how was that the key to success on the part of Joshua? And the answer is, the key for Israel to possess the land of Canaan was their obedience and faithfulness to the law and word of God. Canaan was God's inheritance that he had for his people, Israel. And he would give them that land as an inheritance. Oh, they had to go and fight for it. They had to gather their armies together and go to battle, but the Lord gave them the victory one after another, sometimes miraculously, as the soldiers of Israel stood by and watched God decimate their enemies. He gave them the land. And a lion not ravished with war, as you read through the book of Joshua. The Lord so destroyed the inhabitants and the enemies so that the land was left intact with the cities and the farms and the homes. And Israel simply went in and possessed God's inheritance for them. But it was very clear Israel would receive their inheritance of the promised land only in the way of faithful obedience to the Lord. Hadn't that been made clear already 40 years or 38 years before this, when Moses had led Israel from Mount Sinai to Kadesh Barnea, the southern part, just south of the land of Canaan, and sent out the 12 spies? And when 10 of them came back wickedly with an evil report and spoke of the mighty people that had to be overtaken and they could not possibly do it, what did Israel do? Did they submit to the law? Did they submit to the will of God? They rebelled. They murmured. They were ready to go back to Egypt. They were ready to kill Moses and Aaron. And the Lord says, you're not ready for my inheritance. Back into the wilderness for another 38 years, and this whole generation that rebelled will die in the wilderness. It was only in the way of faithfulness to God's law and covenant that they would receive the land. And if they forgot that, the Lord reminded them again shortly after they entered into the land of Canaan. God gave them a great victory over Jericho. The walls fell down. Israel simply went in and mopped up. Then they went to Ai. And they were defeated initially. Why? Well, it became apparent that Achan had sinfully taken of the spoils of Jericho, which was forbidden. Only in the way of faithful obedience to the will and law of God could Israel inherit the land. And so Joshua's primary duty as leader of Israel was to guide them in faithful obedience to the law. Then there would be success. And so that, to that end, the book of the law must never depart out of his mouth. Whenever he spoke to the people, he must bring them the law and the will and the word of God, showing them how to be faithful to the Lord. That was the key to success. That was his main responsibility. And to that end, he had to keep the law himself. How can he tell Israel, keep the law, when he himself did not? And to that end, he must meditate upon the law day and night. The only way he could have the word of the law in his mouth is if he knew it, by meditating upon it, growing in understanding of it. The only way he could keep the law himself was to meditate upon it. That was the power. That was the key to success. And the same principle holds true for every office bearer in the church today. The only way for the church to possess the heavenly Canaan is the way of faithful obedience to God's word and covenant. The heavenly Canaan is God's inheritance for his beloved church. Because it's an inheritance, it's not something that we earn. Our faithfulness to God and his covenant and his law and our faithfulness to Christ and the cross earns us nothing. The whole inheritance has been earned by Jesus Christ and his perfect work that culminated in his death on the cross. All his life long, he took upon himself the punishment of our sins and all that God had given to him, the church of all ages. And in their place, he walked in an obedience that they were incapable of. And he did that all his life long, and it culminated in his death on the cross. That earns us this glorious inheritance. And the occasion for receiving it is death. The death of Christ on the cross. But this glorious inheritance of the heavenly Canaan is given only to those who are faithful to the will and the word and the law of God. You know, even in an earthly inheritance does not necessarily come to all the children of the Father. There are times when there is a child or children who are unfaithful and they receive no inheritance. And the inheritance is only for those who are faithful. No less is it true with the greater inheritance of eternal life in the heavenly Canaan. The church, her members, God's sons and daughters, receive the eternal inheritance of Canaan only in the way of faithfulness, obedience to the covenant and word of God. And now, of course, the Old Testament Mosaic laws today have in many ways fallen away. Faithfulness doesn't mean anymore that we have a temple and an altar and sacrifices and look for a descendant of Aaron to be a priest. We no longer celebrate the Old Testament feasts. That's because they were fulfilled in Christ. They all pointed to Christ and his work of salvation, and they've been fulfilled. But as our Belgic confession instructs us, even though the form of these laws fell away, the essence still remains. And the essence is, you must cling to Christ as the Lamb of God. You must embrace him as the only high priest who can secure and has secured your salvation and can administer that to you. You must serve him by faith. And in his power, find forgiveness and live the new life of love and faithfulness according to God's covenant word. That's the only way to receive the inheritance. And the office bearer in the church, therefore, leads the people of God into Canaan by leading her members into the Word of God and into faithfulness. The Word of God must never depart out of their mouth. That's true of every office, the minister. That's the office I occupy, is the office of prophet. My calling, commission, is as a prophet to preach the whole counsel of God. As it centers in Christ, as to proclaim salvation in every part of our life and how to live it. The elder is the office of king, who is commissioned to rule the church, to supervise the minister in his life and preaching, but also every family and every member, according to the will and the word and the law of God. And their calling is with the minister to admonish, to encourage, to strengthen, but also to discipline with a view to the members walking faithfully according to the covenant and law of God. And the deacons occupy the office of priest, which is the office of mercy. There was that aspect even in the Old Testament where the priests received the alms and distributed them to the poor. That part of their office remains to this day, the office of deacon. And again, as our form points out, their work isn't just to collect money and distribute it to the poor. Their work is also to bring the comforting word of Scripture. To live in poverty and need is brings great distress to God's people. If they're going to continue their way onto Canaan, they must be guided and helped and comforted by the Word of God. That's the work of the deacon. And through the word spoken, which must never depart from the mouth of the office bearer, he must lead the church and her members to Canaan. And that word must guide the church as she faces the many enemies that would keep her from reaching Canaan's shores. Whether minister, elder, or deacon, every office bearer must address the many temptations, the many false doctrines, and the persecutions that the church faces and that the members face. We're at war. We're going through a waste-howling wilderness. The office bearer must address the Word of God to these difficulties, to this warfare, and must show the saints of God how to deal with these attacks effectively out of the Word of God. And that he may do that effectively, the office bearer himself must walk according to the will and word of God. It won't do any good for a minister, elder, or deacon to say to the congregation, this is how you have to live, this is how you must contend, and he doesn't do it himself. His words will fall on deaf ears. Only when he himself strays neither to the right nor to the left in keeping the will and word of God in faithfulness. And to that end, he must also himself meditate day and night upon that word. Not just the minister, whose work is to meditate upon the Word of God, to make sermons, but it's also the responsibility of the elder, the deacon. Know the Word of God, because that also will empower him to live by it and also enable him to bring Word of God effectively to the people as he leads them to Canaan. My ministry, I have served with some outstanding elders. And without exception, the ones who are outstanding are the ones who were students of Scripture and who read theology. The Lord assured Joshua, I'll go with you. I have this commission. Take Moses' place. Lead this people into Canaan. I'll go with you. I'll be with you. I will give you the words to speak. You meditate upon my law. You come to know it thoroughly. You place it in your heart. I will give you the words to speak out of that law to the people. I will make your words powerful and effective. And I will prosper you as the leader of this people. And so the Lord said, Joshua, be strong, be courageous, don't be afraid, don't tremble. I'm with you. Josh, never let my law depart out of your mouth. And the same promise is given to every office bearer today. Elders and deacons in this church, the Lord has commissioned you along with me. Lead this flock, lead this people towards Canaan. The Lord promises, I'll go with you. And I'll be with you. Meditate upon my word. Know it. In its power, live it. And bring that word to this people. And I will give you the words to speak. When I was in seminary, Reverend C. Hanko, now gone to glory, a man who excelled in pastoral work, visited our poimenics class. That's the art of being a pastor. And he spoke for an hour. And there were many things that I learned from him. And one thing he said is this: always when you go on a call, have a passage in mind, a word in mind. But don't forget, that might not apply as the situation develops. And so be ready to bring something else. And he said, there are times when he would scramble in his mind, what shall I say? What shall I say? And every time the Lord gave him what to say. I found the same thing in my own ministry. So that sometimes I've come away from a situation dumbfounded. How did I come up with that? In the context of knowing the Word, of preparing yourself with the Word, the Lord goes with you to bring the Word. You may have that confidence. He will make your words effective and powerful. No, it doesn't mean that you'll always find the response of faith and joy. Sometimes that word will harden. And that's God's will too. But he will always make it effective and powerful to accomplish his purpose. And he will use it. Lead his people further on to Canaan. And maybe under your office and your work as office bearers into Canaan. How many of the members of this church haven't left the wilderness of this world and entered into Canaan in the 18 years I've been here? Under my ministry and the ministry of you elders and deacons. That's what the Lord promises. Cling to those promises. Be faithful in the Word. Bring the Word. The Lord will be with you. The Lord will prosper your work. And he will prosper this church. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy Word. We thank thee, O God, that thou hast given us the word that is powerful to lead us to our eternal inheritance and that will keep us safe. Bless, O God, the office bearers in this church and also the newly installed office bearers to hear this word, to be faithful, and lead us as a congregation, O God, to receive the word of thy covenant as brought to us by our office bearers. We ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen.